CD 5.
The sun rose. As the golden light spilled down the fertile valley of the Dajjal, the pyramid flares paled and became ghost dancers against the lightening sky. They were now accompanied by a noise. It had been there all the time, far too high-pitched for mortal ears, a sound now dropping down from the far ultrasonic. It screamed out of the sky, a thin rind of sound like a violin bow dragged across the raw surface of the brain. Or a wet fingernail dragged over an exposed nerve, some said. You could set your watch by it, they would have said, if anyone knew what one was. It went deeper and deeper as the sunlight washed over the stones, passing through cat scream to dog growl. The flares collapsed.
A fine morning, sire. I trust you slept well.
Tepic waved a hand at Dios, but said nothing. The barber was working through the ceremony of going forth shaven. The barber was trembling. Until recently, he had been a one-handed, unemployed stonemason. Then the terrible high priest had summoned him and ordered him to be the king's barber. But it meant you had to touch the king. But it was all right, because it was all sorted out by the priests, and nothing more had to be chopped off. On the whole, it was better than he had thought, and a great honour to be single-handedly responsible for the king's beard, such as it was.
"You were not disturbed in any way?" said the high priest.
His eyes scanned the room on a raster of suspicion. It was surprising that little lines of molten rock didn't drip off the walls.
"If you would but hold still, O never-dying one,"
said the barber, in the pleading tone of voice employed by one who is assured of a guided tour of a crocodile's alimentary tract if he nicks an ear.
"You heard no strange noises, sire?" said Dios.
He stepped back suddenly so that he could see behind the gilded peacock screen at the other end of the room.
"No." "Your Majesty looks a little peaky this morning, sire," said Dios.
He sat down on the bench with the carved cheetahs on either end. Sitting down in the presence of the king, except on ceremonial occasions, was not something that was allowed. It did, however, mean that he could squint under Tepic's low bed. Dios was rattled. Despite the aches and the lack of sleep, Tepic felt oddly elated. He wiped his chin. "It's the bed," he said. "I think I have mentioned it. Mattresses, you know. They have feathers in them. If the concept is unfamiliar, ask the pirates of Kali. Half of them must be sleeping on goose-feather mattresses by now."
"His Majesty is pleased to joke," said Dios.
Tepic knew he shouldn't push it any further, but he did so anyway.
"Something wrong, Dios?" he said. "A miscreant broke into the palace last night. The girl Petrachi is missing."
"That is very disturbing."
"Yes, sire.
Probably a suitor, or a swain, or something."
Dios's face was like stone.
"Possibly, sire."
"The sacred crocodiles will be going hungry, then."
But not for long, Tepic thought. Walk to the end of any of the little jetties down by the bank, let your shadow fall on the river, and the mud-yellow water would become, by magic, mud-yellow bodies. They looked like large, sodden logs, the main difference being that logs don't open at one end and bite your legs off. The sacred crocodiles of the Dajjal were the kingdom's garbage disposal, river patrol, and occasional morgue. They couldn't simply be called big. If one of the huge bulls ever drifted sideways onto the current, he'd dam the river. The barber tiptoed out. A couple of body servants tiptoed in.
"I anticipated Your Majesty's natural reaction, sire," Dios continued, "like the drip of water in deep limestone caverns."
"Jolly good," said Tepic, inspecting the clothes for the day. "What was it exactly?"
"A detailed search of the palace, room by room."
"Absolutely. Carry on, Dios."
"My face is perfectly open," he told himself. "I haven't twitched a muscle out of place. I know I haven't. He can read me like a steel. I can outstare him."
Thank you, sire."
I imagine they'll be miles away by now, said Tepic, whoever they were.